are officially getting started. And welcome back to the Bunny Breakthrough Virtual Intensive Day, part two. So I'm going to go ahead and part one is understanding money, right? And part two is part two is that money does not land in chaos. So we're going to start to talk about that here in a moment. But before we get into that, I would love to hear some feedback from you guys on your ahas about doing the exercise and the new beliefs that you've created. So can I get some sharing?
Hello, this is Leslie.
Yes. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. So there wasn't really so many ahas because I'm kind of familiar with this part of my stuff. But I wrote that money was scarce growing up, and it was accepted as such. Like, people complained that it was scarce, but it was, there was no expectation that it would change. It was just, that's just the way things were. You accepted it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as what did my parents teach me about money, that it was something to fight over, that actually, there wasn't a hot moment. I just realized when I was meeting with a potential client, I felt like I was begging when it came to money, asking for, you know, my fee. And when I was doing this exercise, it came up that that my parents taught me that the person who had money was in charge and the person who didn't was begging, was like,
oh,
you know. So that was like, okay, I see that. And also that wanting money meant that you were greedy. And I'm West Indian, and there's this phrase, it's called nuff, you be nuff, which means like you're being, you know, like you're poor and you're trying to be something else. You're trying to be rich. You're trying to be, you know, something that you're not. And so there was like a shame around that. And that was, you know, you never wanted to be accused of being enough. You just wanted to be accepted.
Huh. Interesting. Good, Leslie. And I think that's an amazing insight, right? That one that you said, the person who has the money is in control, and the person who's asking for it is begging. Because I just want,
right.
I want you to really get that, because you've said to me before, I'm afraid to put myself out there. Like, I just feel like I'm bugging people, right? And
right.
If there's an internal voice that's telling you that you're begging, right?
Right.
That's a terrible, like, no wonder you don't want to contact people.
No wonder.
You know what I mean? Right? Like,
yes.
If you're framing it that way, then it is a very negative thing. Good. So,
right.
Leslie, do you have power statements that, you know, a new statement that can, that sort of counters that belief?
I wrote, as far as healing your money, family's legacy, I said, I'm now aware that my family legacy has created limited false beliefs around money, and I'm willing to let go of those beliefs. I'm willing to forgive mommy and daddy and my childhood, just like my culture and my environment in general, for creating false money beliefs in me. And I give myself permission to be financially successful. And I am willing to create my own legacy around money. I enjoy an abundant life and give myself permission to enjoy it without guilt and with humility.
Awesome. Good, Leslie. Those are really good. I would also add some specific ones in there to sort of counter the voices. So I would add one in that says, when I ask for money for my services, I am giving a gift to those who would work with me. Right, to sort of counter that belief that you're begging.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And that's, yeah, if you want to look and make sure that if you want your beliefs to be, and then another one, you said specifically that when you were growing up, it was just accepted that money was scarce. And because that was pervasive for you, my guess is it's still a voice that exists for you. So
yes,
I would counter that one with money is always present for me.
Okay.
More than enough money is always present, or abundant amounts of money are always present for me.
Okay.
Right, because you're shifting that sort of belief structure in your mind right now.
Right.
Good.
Thank you.
Great. So for those of you that are just calling in, we're reviewing ahas and observations from the money legacy, the money beliefs exercise. We're going to go into the money relationship exercise in a minute here, but I want to go over some more. Does someone else want to share what came up for them from the money beliefs one, the one about family?
Mom, this is Kyra. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Okay. All right, great. It's so funny because my partner was Kate, and she was great, so thank you, Kate. And I wasn't able to, or so I thought I wasn't able to do the money, the family's money legacy, the healing of family's money legacy activity. But Kate literally just went into it, and then when she went into it, I was like, oh, wait a minute, I can do mine. And so what I came up with for awareness is that I'm doing everything myself in business. And I don't resent my father because my father's an entrepreneur. He has his own business. But I wrote that I forgive my father for not expanding his business to be an example for me in my business. And so I'm providing or giving myself permission to let go and to just let go, not of the business, but to let go of every single aspect of the business to allow myself to expand and to really to trust other people that they're actually going to do the work in the manner that I would do it. Because, of course, everybody's going to do for themselves, I would like to think, at least I know for me, I'm going to do the best I possibly can for my own business. But, you know, employees don't always feel the same way that the owner would. And then the leadership is moving beyond it to create your own legacy. And I was just telling Kate that I believe that with me expanding the business, that my business will be, or my company will be, generational, and it will create wealth from, you know, from generation to generation, because it's going to be so structured that, you know, one, the money's going to come in abundantly, but that, you know, I can teach the rest of my family, whether it's my own children or my niece and nephew, that this is the way that you run a company, and it's really a well-oiled machine. So
awesome.
That was my leadership.
Awesome, Kai. And that's a really good example of like beliefs that snuck in there that you didn't even notice, right? And this is like such a great example because Kai watched her father, you know, from when she was little to now grow and expand his business. And subconsciously she probably got that you do everything alone. And it's not like he was doing a bad thing, right? He's great. It's just that is what you pick up from watching your environment. And really getting that's within you now and then moving beyond that is beautiful, Kai. I think that's a great observation.
Thank you.
Good. You know, and it's very similar to one that I made. And this is good for everybody to hear is that, you know, the observations don't have to be these, like, monumental, you know, sort of mind-blowing things that your parents did or whatever. It can be really subtle things that you watched your parents or your family or your extended family or your brothers and sisters do that snuck into your head without you realizing what was going on, right? For me, and I was going to talk about this a little bit later when I talked about leverage, but, you know, because my parents were immigrants, they had very little, they didn't really believe in debt, right? So it was always about making enough revenue, making enough income to pay for everything ahead of time. And so it was interesting because when I went to my own coach, my own mentor, and we were, you know, and we're making the plan to expand to a really big number this year for revenue breakthrough, and she said to me, you're going to have to leverage. She's like, you're going to have to put some stuff on the credit card in order for you to do the live event, for you to pay for what needs to happen. And I was really pulling back from that. And she's like, what's going on? And I was like, you know, my dad always said that if you're going to buy a house, you should buy it with cash. And she just started laughing. And she said, did your father do well? And I said, yeah, he did very well. And she said, I bet you he would have done 5 times as well if he just would have used leverage along the way in his business. And I really took a, you know, she's like, and I'm not saying you're doing it irresponsibly, like you're buying shoes every week. I'm saying you're doing it responsibly, but you're trusting that it's okay to have some leverage in your business. And then, you know, when I started to think about it, I realized, like, I've been through business school and watched every single company that has ever been successful have some amount of debt on their books, right? And I just, it made me realize that, you know, I hadn't realized how much that belief had been planted inside of me. Yeah, and I was, somebody was saying that that was true for them, too. Who was that?
Doris.
Yeah, my parents were immigrants, too, and they owed $50 when they got here. So my father worked 2 jobs. My mother couldn't speak the language, so she worked in homes helping people or, you know, doing maid service and things like that. And they always said, oh, no, money's scarce, and you have, you know, they made ends meet. But they said, oh, pay everything in cash. Don't take out loans. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work hard and earn your money. And so there was really no mentorship there either, guidance on how to start a business, but just that you work hard and, you know, it was survival. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so for you, Doris, what are your new money beliefs? Like what are you creating now for yourself?
Well, you know, I was looking at some of the 4 types, and I think I'm pretty balanced in money. But I believe that I have to have, give them real value to get money back.
Okay, that's one of your beliefs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm going to just help you with a power statement, you know, mm-hmm. of what you can replace that with. So for you, and I know we've worked on this one-on-one, we worked on it yesterday, I believe, I would just write down for yourself, my job is to facilitate the transformation in my clients. They follow through on it. So mm-hmm. my job is to facilitate the transformation. They follow through on it. I hold my clients as powerful to get what they want. So that's the statement that you want to write down for yourself. That's your new legacy moving forward. And then another statement that might help you, Doris, is, you know, is that, you know, it sounds like, you know, money doesn't grow on trees and you always have to have it available.
Mm-hmm.
That it may, you know, another statement for you is money is always abundant for me.
And I do feel that, you know, I feel that I am supported. And I do feel that when I want something, you know, I can get it or I have that ability. I feel abundant. But I think the problem for me is asking a certain amount of money.
Okay.
Or I feel balanced with not, well, I guess I could say that there were hoarder things in the beginning because, you know, for survival, they would even recycle spools of thread and bleach bottles and things like that.
Okay, good. And do you think you've, that there's some parts of you that are still hoarding?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
good.
just clutter kind of thing.
Okay, so a power statement for that is there will always be enough. There will always be more than enough, where I am always taken care of. Right? And so some of you, just to really be clear here, the power statements that I'm talking about are statements that, okay, so they're statements that you write down about yourself once you get some of these aha moments about what's holding you back, whether it be from family or whether it be belief patterns that you've been carrying. And the best way to do them is to write down the new beliefs. And then I have in my apartment one of those big post-it note easel pad things, and they're like $20 at a Staples store. And what I've done over the course of the years is you just write your new statements on your easel. You know, rip off one of those pieces of paper, post it to the wall in your office, and write your new power statements so that you can read them every day, and you can constantly be reminded of the growth that you're going through. Okay, great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am going to continue on to the second exercise. And, you know, we'll have more time for sharing for that. The second exercise, you were to write down your the person in your life, you know, a name of a person in your life who you love or you care about, and then you or admire greatly, and then you were to write down to answer all of the questions. Now, what I want you to do, the point of this exercise is, what I want you to do is replace, so the person that you love greatly with money. So now, instead of what are the qualities that describe your relationship with, let's say you chose your mom. What are the qualities that describe your relationship with your mom? And you wrote that down there. Now you're going to replace it with what are the qualities that describe your relationship with money. Right? And look at the qualities that you wrote for that. And then how do you feel about yourself when you think about this relationship with money? How do you feel about money? What does money give you? What do you receive from money? What do you do in this relationship with money? In other words, what is your role? What do you ask for from money? What is it that you know about money? What is a metaphor that symbolizes this relationship with money? What can you count on about money? And who are you in this relationship with money? So you've got your answers written there, and now you're just going to evaluate. And what's interesting here is that some of you are going to look at those answers and think, I don't actually like that answer, right? Like, I don't want to have that kind of relationship with money. And some of you are going to look at your answers and think, yeah, that's pretty right on. Like, that's how it works. So I know for me, when I chose who I admire and love greatly, I chose my father, actually. And what was interesting is that the metaphor that symbolized my relationship with him was that he's my rock. Like, he's always been really solid and there for me. And when I thought to myself, what is the metaphor that I have with money? I thought, that's exactly the way I want to think about money. Money's my rock. It's always there for me. It's always abundant. And whenever I'm in doubt or confusion, I always go back to this exercise to think about, okay, what's my relationship with money, and is it shifting, right? Am I treating it like someone that I admire and love and care about? So I'm just going to stop there, and I want to get your feedback on, you know, what are you noticing? What are your observations when you switch with and put money in there instead of this person that you admire and love greatly?
I have to say, Monica, that it changes whoever I put in there.
Yeah, right. And that's totally true. It will change whoever you put in there, but I would trust your instincts. So whoever you put in there first,
okay,
is what you would use as an example. And one of the ways to change your relationship with money so that you start to look at it more as a friend than as a foe is to start to look at money the same way that you look at this person that you love and you admire. Good. So, who did people put in there, and how does it shift it when you put money in there?
Interesting.
Mom, this is Kaira. The funny thing is, I did the same thing. I put my father, and when I replaced it with money, it just kind of made me smile, because just like you said, like the metaphor, like, he's my rock. I literally had written that, you know, he's got my back. He's like my cheerleader at all times. He gives me advice. He gives me ideas. He's like my not my sole support, but he's a big supporter. And he's like, he is my PR person. Like, if there's anybody who has gotten my business to where it is, it's him just being who he naturally is, just being the proud father that he is.
Yeah. And that's interesting, Kai, when you replace that now and you think of money that way, does it shift the way you see money? Like, money is your supporter. It's always there for you. It's your PR person, right? Does it help you feel better about attracting it?
It does, but I've always had a positive relationship with money. So it just kind of made me smile, like, yeah, good. This is good. This is how I want. This is really how I always want to feel about money. So, yeah, it just kind of, it confirmed how I felt, but it just, like, I always look back to this activity to just help me, to remind me when I get to maybe a low point or a lower point than where I'd like to be. But I love this activity.
Great. Good. Good. Anyone else? Comments? Now, you know, sometimes. Go ahead, Lark.
Oh, sorry. I just had a question.
Yeah.
I was running down these lists of people that I could use, and a few of them popped into my head, like my dad, my grandfather. But does it make a difference? This might be a goofy question. Does it make a difference if you're picking someone that is maybe part of why you have the negative money beliefs that you have? Like maybe those qualities in them, you love them for those qualities, but maybe they were terrible with money. Is that going to affect this process for me? Do I need to pick someone that's very good with money?
No.
That I love and admire?
That's a really good point, Martin. Okay. So first of all, in terms of who you pick, I would always pick somebody. I would try to pick somebody who you love and admire greatly, unconditionally. Do you know what I mean? Like not someone who you kind of love and admire, right? So first of all, and then second, Larkin, what you bring up is a valid point because that's the other side of this spectrum. So, you, for example, I'm just going to make up something for you. I don't. Let's say you pick your friend Carrie, right? And you love Carrie and you think she's great, but there are things about the relationship that you have with Carrie that are challenging, right? So, like when you answer the question, for example. What is it that you know about this other person? You might know that Carrie's insecure about money and that she actually just lost a bunch of money in a high-risk venture that you wouldn't have done, right? And when you then replace it, what is it that you know about money? You have to get that you probably feel that way about money as well, that money is high risk and that you might lose it. Right, so no matter who you pick, even if they have positive or negative qualities, you're going to start to get that you probably feel positive about money in the same way that you feel positive about this person, but negative about money in the same way that you feel negative about this person. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. And so that's why, like, it's interesting because, like, for Kai and for when I did it, most of my stuff was positive, but there are things about my father that, you know, aren't necessarily, like, you know, awesome. Like, they're, so there, not all of it was, like, glowing words, right? So there are things about it, like, sometimes, like, in the question, what do they give you, I put challenges, because sometimes it's challenging. And when I said, what does money give you, I was like, challenges. And, you know, because that's what money gives me sometimes, is it challenges me to figure out how to attract it and how to go to the next level. So there's positive and negative, you know, and I shouldn't even say positive or negative because it's not always that black or white, but there's sort of glowing things and less glowing things that you're going to say about this person. And it's just like there's glowing things and there's less glowing things about your relationship with money.
Great. Thank you so much.
Great. Good. Any other questions or observations about this exercise? Okay. Good. Well, I'm going to go into the next part. So I'm going to go ahead and put it on lecture mode. If you didn't get a chance to finish those exercises, because I know some of you are like, wasn't enough time for me to do everything, that's completely fine. What I would recommend is that you do take the time to do them. And then check in with your buddy around them, discuss it with someone. Feel free to bring it up on our next revenue breakthrough call if you want to discuss more of it. These sorts of exercises, these kinds of observations are things that we will be talking about throughout the program. So this isn't just limited today, but it will give you a good start. Okay, so part two, money does not land in chaos. So what we're going to go over here is the fact that for most of us, at some point in our lives or right now, things are just confused. You don't know exactly how much money you need for all your expenses. You don't know where your bills are. You don't know when your statements come in. You don't know how much money is in your particular bank accounts or in your investment accounts at any particular moment. And the truth is that it doesn't land in a chaotic place because money loves clarity, right? So the first way to start to reduce the chaos and get the clarity is to know your numbers. So there's three different numbers that I'd like for you to figure out for yourself, and then I'm going to give you some time to do that shortly. First, you need to figure out your necessities number, and then you're going to figure out your desired number, and then you're going to figure out your ideal right now number. So your necessities number, and this is where most people start in business, is if you are going to pare down all of your expenses to the things you most need right now, what is that number? What is the number that you need to live on per month? So you want to add up your rent or your mortgage, your food, your utilities, your restaurants, your travel, any other necessary expenses that you are incurring. So this is kind of where most people start in their business, right, is that they pare down expenses. So I remember, you know, when I started Ideal Balance, I pared everything down, right? I got rid of my landline phone and I got a mobile phone. I canceled my gym membership. I definitely reduced any extra shopping. I was particularly conscious about eating out at restaurants that were, you know, outside of my price range or too often, right? I watched my grocery bills, right? Like, these were all things that I needed to do in order to get to keep my necessities, to keep my monthly number low when I was first starting my business, right? And so what you want to know for yourself is, essentially, what is the number I need to make per month in order for me to live off of? So normally for most people, this is somewhere in the ballpark of $2,000 to $4,000 to $5,000 that you need to live off of per month, right, if you were going to support yourself. Now, some of you live with a partner, so it's going to be a little different. Like, if you live with a partner, then your calculation for your necessities is only the things that you specifically pay for. So, for example, if you're paying for me as a coach, right, that would go into your necessity number. If you're paying for office supplies per month, if you're paying for your own internet service for your phone bill, right, that would go into your necessities number. That's the number you need, and that's the first goal. That's what you want to make sure that you make, you know, in the next 3 months, is you want to get to your necessities number. Once you surpass your necessities number, you're going to get to your desired number. Your desired number is when you start to live a little bit more nicely. So this is where you can add things in, like a restaurant a couple times a week, or nicer food, like organic food, or a trip, you know, that you want to take with somebody, or money that you want to put into savings, money for extras such as massages, or money for extra fun things. But again, this is a middle number. This isn't like, I want a massage every week. This is, I'd like to have a massage every month. Or this isn't, I'm going to the most expensive restaurants. This is, I'm able to go out with my friends when they want to go out. And it doesn't really matter where we go, and I don't have to be particular about it. So you want to then figure out what your desired living number. And this is where you're living well, right? You're happy. You add up all your expenses for your desired number. And this is per month. And then the third number that you want to figure out is your ideal right now number. Now, very few people actually tell you to figure this number out, but I think it's really a great number to figure out. This number is, okay, it is February of 2011. If I had a really great life by the end of this year, like a really awesome life, what would it look like? So, and I'm not talking about what is my awesome life going to look like in 5 years. I'm talking about what is my awesome life going to look like by the end, like what could it look like by the end of this year or next year? So things like, let's say you're in a studio, you're in a small apartment and you want a bigger one. So you would figure out, okay, right now I'm paying $800 for rent. And if I wanted to have a two-bedroom apartment, I would pay $1,200 for rent. So that's what you would put in there for your retro mortgage. Let's say you would like to be able to spend whatever you want on groceries. So now you spend $50 a week on groceries, and you'd like to be able to spend $100 a week on groceries. So you would put in $400, right, because you're doing it for the month. Utilities would probably stay the same. restaurant. Now you'd actually like to be able to eat at some nicer restaurants, right, a couple times a month. So right now your restaurant budget is $100 and you want it to be $400. You would like to travel, not crazy travel, but maybe you want to take one vacation to another country and take 7 days off with hotel and flight. So maybe you would put like $2,000, right, or into your budget for this. Maybe you'd always wanted to join a gym or hire a personal trainer, so you'd put that in. Maybe you want nanny or childcare. Maybe you want a certain amount for savings, like more than you're putting in now. Like in an ideal world, you would put $1,000 into savings every month, so you would put in $1,000. Now you're living in your ideal, so now you want a massage every week. So now you would put in enough for 4 massages and then money for extra fun things. So the reason I call it the ideal right now number is because I want it to be about what you would like to have right now, like by the end of the year or next year, to make your life amazing. And the reason I want you to figure this number out is because you're going to actually be surprised by how doable it is. Most of us don't actually have a really fundamental understanding of how much everything costs in our lives or how much the dollar is worth. So I remember, like, the first time that I did this with a client, you know, her ideal right now number for a really good life, to move into a bigger apartment, to eat what she wanted, to eat out where she wanted, to travel, to do other necessary expenses, was it averaged out that she needed to be making about $250,000 a year, right? And she was really surprised because in her mind she thought it was much higher, right? Like, she thought she would have to make, you know, $500,000 or $1 million before she was ever going to be happy. And what we did after that, when we got to that $250,000 number, is at some point, you guys, once you're past your necessities of your desired number, that's where you're heading. It's your ideal right now number. That's your next big goal. So these are just the places to really give you a light at the end of the tunnel to say, okay, this is the direction you're moving in, and this is how much money I need to have. Right? And it's actually, when you're figuring these numbers out, I think that it's easiest to do this in an Excel spreadsheet so that you can change it, because you should always know, like, it's going to shift, right? Like, your rent might go up, or the grocery store, you know, you end up spending more on food than you thought, or, you know, you end up traveling more because your mom is sick or something like that. So you want to put it so that it's a dynamic number, that it's always shifting, and then I would keep them together and know exactly what your number is. You know, at any point in time from here on out, you should know your necessity number and your desired number, right? So you know you have some foundation from which to make money from. Because money loves, it does not land in chaos, and it loves clarity. And the more clear you are about, I need to make $5,000 a month so that I can live my ideal, my desired number, right? All of a sudden, money likes that because you're clear, you know why, you know what you're going to spend it on, and it will come more freely to you. Okay, so let me just stop there and see if there's any questions about that part. Any questions or clarifications about figuring out your necessity number, your desired number, and your ideal right now number?
No, I Monica, think for me it's just a celebration.
Joyce, I'm sorry?
You said if you live with a partner, that has to be separated somehow. So I don't know how I would do the mortgage and the rent and the food and things like that.
Right. So for you, you would just write down the money you're responsible for.
And do that with just this business that I'm trying to create, or what I've already been doing with
everything,
the essential oil.
Yeah, essential. For you, Doris, everything that you would like to, that you are responsible for paying off or paid for, you know, with everything that you do. So both the essential oils and your current business as well. And then also, Doris, or anybody else that has a partner, you know, you may not be able to figure these numbers out right now, but it is worth sitting down with your partner at some point and, you know, and figuring out what the desired living number is and what your goal number is for both of you, you know, if you, and you know, and just playing that out. When I figured out my ideal number, I figured it out with my partner in mind. So actually, the number that we came up with was so we could both get massages every week, so we could both hire a personal trainer, so that we could, you know, our restaurant bill was for both of us eating, right?
So,
and so, yeah.
Then what he makes and what I would want the desired number to be. Okay.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Doris. So then when you get your desired number and you get your big number of what you both want, you take
mm-hmm.
out his salary, and then
mm-hmm.
you're responsible for the rest of it.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that's what your goal is, right? And it's really cool when you do this, because it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh, this is a concrete number. I know what I want. It's like I can hold on to it and see it now.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good question.
Thank you.
And then I also just want to do a caveat, a warning here. Some of you are going to look at this and you're going to think, I don't know if I want to look at these numbers, because I know I'm not making this now. And
mm-hmm.
and this is really hard for me to be realistic here, because I'm having to look at things and feel bad about the money that I'm spending on things. And what I want you to do is get that this is not meant to make you feel bad, right? It is meant to be a starting point of power, right? Because the only way you can get more powerful with money is by getting really clear about how much you need, what every dollar is set for, and how you're going to bring it in. And you better believe that when you get clear that you need $3,000 a month for your necessities and you haven't been bringing that in, that you're going to be a lot more motivated to go do initial sessions, right? Because it's not about, oh, randomly doing initial sessions anymore. It's about bringing money in to pay for your groceries and your dog, right? It's not about just money doesn't need anything to move anymore. It's putting into context that you're creating this business to support your ideal lifestyle. You're not just creating the business for your own ego, or so that you can say you run a business, or so that you can please yourself by being, you know, a coach or a counselor or a service professional. You're running this business to support you first and foremost, so that you can be the best person that you are meant to be, so that you can give amazing services to the world. Great, good. Other questions? Joyce, you had a comment.
I was actually just commenting on, I'm actually kind of in celebration mode at the moment, because I feel like I've taken that step. In February was the first month that I actually really created a really hardcore budget for myself, and it's really, really tight. I know how much I need to be making. I know I'm not making it, but it really feels, it was scary as holy heck doing it, and it annoyed the heck out of me doing it, but it was
yeah.
good for me to have that, because now I know, oh, okay, I'm not really wasting money. I'm not being stupid about it. It's just, this is the way it is. And it also, I do start to play games with, okay, how can I make this grocery list less expensive? What can I do to do that? So I am starting to play games. So when you were saying this, I was kind of doing the little yes under my breath.
That's
so
great.
Was
and do you feel, you know, I thought when I did this choice that it gave me more freedom, because I felt like I didn't feel like I was in ignorance anymore. Did you feel like, have you felt that way since you did it?
Yeah, I actually do. I feel more empowered by it, and I do feel there's definitely no ignorance about it, and there's a lot more power. I feel like life takes me more seriously now, because I'm taking myself more seriously.
Yeah.
And I gave myself little cheater things. I decided at one point, okay, if I tell myself I can't have something because there's no money in the budget for it, then I'm not going to... The word can't, for some reason, for me, means that I'm going to rebel against it. So I gave myself, you know, just as a little test, I gave myself a $20 bill and put it in my wallet for the month. And I have not been willing to break that sucker up all month, because I'm like, nope, it's all about the money. It's all about me right now. So,
yeah.
So I really have, it really has broken my, any little frivolities or anything that's just a little bit off in me. It really, there's a lot more focus and intensity now.
Great. Good. Good. And Joyce brings up a good point, which is sort of the next step from this budget or from this expenses number. Is it's this is kind of an introduction to creating a budget for all of you as you're sort of starting your businesses and getting clear about where you're spending, you know, where you're spending your money and where the expenses are. And mind you, I put example expenses on your handout. But you guys are going to have different ones. You know, you're going to, I mean, you know, there's tons of expenses that I did not put on there that are going to be very specific to you, to all of you and what your expenses are. And it just keeps you aware. And the other thing that Joyce brings up, which is a very great point, is saying no to yourself. This is something I really want you to hear. I never, like ever since I started studying this stuff, I never say no, right? I never say, I can't get that, I can't afford it, because it is simply not true. All I say is, okay, is it in my budget or not? And if it's not, how am I going to manifest the money? I literally am like a machine, right? Like if I see, like I just did this last month, I wanted to hire a personal Pilates instructor, right? So I think she charged, I mean, to buy a package for her was for like $1,000. And I thought, okay, you know what I need to do? I just need to manifest a new client so that I can have that, right? And it doesn't, you know, sometimes it'll take me 3, sometimes it'll take me 6 months. You know, it's really, the time doesn't matter to me. All I do is I always say yes. So one of the things for you guys to get is always be saying yes to yourself. And it doesn't matter what it is. If it's a great pair of shoes, it just doesn't have to be yes right now. It's just going to be yes, I'm going to figure out how I'm going to get that. You know, even if it takes me a little while to figure it out, right? And that's a really, it's a huge shift when you start to get that, is always say yes to yourself and just know that that's why you're in business, because you have no upper limit, right? You don't have a salary, and that's a beautiful thing, because when you want more money, you can go out and find it, and that's why you're in this program. And so I can teach you the skills to put it in play to be able to go do that. When you want it, when you need it, because you want to go on a vacation or you want a great dress that you love, right? That's the power of knowing what your budget is and then also having the skill set to be able to create more. Okay, great. Any other ahas or observations from those numbers? Okay, so let's see where we are here. Terms of our schedule. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is we're going to take a break. It's now 1:45. This break is meant so you could get a start on these numbers, your necessity, your desired living, and your ideal living worksheet. I also want you to grab a credit card statement while you're on this break, and then everybody's going to call back in at 2 o'clock, and we will keep going, working our way through this. Any last questions before we go?
No.
Okay, great. I will talk to you all at 2 o'clock. Thank you.